preaching is not an end in and of itself. Rather, it is a means to the greater end of knowing, loving, worshiping, and serving God.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Expositors Collective podcast. This is episode 108, and I'm your host, Mike Neglia. You know, in times like this, I think we feel our need for the Spirit of God to help us as we minister the Word. But although these are punctuated moments of our felt need, truly, perhaps you agree that we always need the Spirit's empowering and the Spirit's help. So to that end, in May 9th, we put on our first ever Expositors Collective webinar. And so it was a 2-hour event, and we're going to be releasing the first half of it today, and then the next half next Tuesday. And so we want you to be encouraged and enriched by what took place at the webinar. And this is the first half of it. It's Pastor Brian Broderson from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, speaking about preaching in the power of the Spirit. Now, personally, I really enjoyed his dual emphasis that it's important that we depend on the Spirit during the preparation process, but also during the actual delivery. I like the phrase that he uses, prophetic diversions. And so, that's kind of what we say here when we speak about our personal study and public proclamation of God's Word. We need the Spirit's empowering and the Spirit's help for both of these. So with that in mind, I'm going to turn it over. Actually, Pete Nelson, part of our steering committee, he's going to introduce us to Brian. And then Brian is going to speak about preaching in the power of the Spirit. And there's a time of Q&A afterwards. So I hope you enjoy this, and I'll chime in again at the end.
You guys know Brian, most of you. He hardly needs an introduction, but such a good friend and one of my favorite pastors. And, you know, one thing I appreciate about Brian is this subject that we're going to dive into here on the importance of Spirit-led preaching, and really looking forward to what he has to share with us. It's always, for me personally, it's deep stuff. And so, Brian, why don't you take the floor?
Hey, everyone. Great to be with you. My message, or my title for my message, is Preaching in the Power of the Spirit. And that's a topic that we want to focus on right now. And let me begin with just saying this, that preaching is not an end in and of itself. Rather, it is a means to the greater end of knowing, loving, worshiping, and serving God. Biblical preaching, and by that I mean preaching the way it is defined and modeled in the Bible, is God's word spoken by God's servants through God's Spirit in God's power. And this is what Paul was referring to when he said things like this: my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit's power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He said that, of course, to the Corinthians and to the Thessalonians. He said, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about the gospel coming not in word only, but also in power. Because from Paul's statement, we see that it's possible to preach with persuasive words of human wisdom, but not in the power of the Spirit. And We don't want to do that. Now, when I say preach with persuasive words of human wisdom, and then contrasting that with preaching with the power of the Spirit, those things are not necessarily mutually exclusive. Paul is talking more about a person's motive, a person's objective in preaching. Paul said these things in the context of the Corinthians. And in that culture, there were those rhetoricians. They were the professional entertainers, really, of the day who entertained people through their ability to speak. And some Christians, evidently, and perhaps some of even the false teachers, they sought to mimic that, and they thought that that was what preaching was really all about. And Paul says, no, it's not about that. It's not about my ability primarily to articulate something. It's not about my ability primarily to express my intellect or my wisdom. Preaching is about Christ and Him crucified, and about that message coming in the power of the Spirit. And so that's what we want to make sure that we're doing as ministers of the Word of God. We want to make sure, to the best of our ability, that we are being empowered by the Spirit to proclaim God's Word. Now, there are three things that I want to touch on that are going to help us to do this. And first of all, I just want to pose this as a question. How do we assure that our preaching is in the power of the Spirit? So what can I do on my part to assure that? Of course, the power of the Spirit, we're talking about the Spirit of God. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about a sovereign God. Now, I'm saying this with the assumption that we collectively are believing that we have been gifted by God, because that's really where it all begins. Teaching and preaching is a gift from God. It's a gift of the Spirit. We know that the scriptures communicate that idea. We have list of the various gifts in some of the letters in the New Testament, and prophecy is a gift that's listed. Teaching is a gift that is listed. And so we first of all need to understand that these are spiritual gifts. They're supernatural gifts. I think of Paul's words to the Ephesians about how God gave to the church some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So those are all manifestations of teaching and preaching gifts that God has given. So I'm going with the assumption that all of us are the recipients of those kinds of giftings in some way, shape, or form. So with that assumption, then the question, how do we assure that our preaching is in the power of the Spirit? And the first thing I would say is that it is a disposition. It is first and foremost a disposition, or maybe another way to describe it is a bent or a leaning. You lean toward this, and I would even say that you might think of it as leaning into it. And what I'm really getting at here when I say it's a disposition, I'm talking about it being an attitude of dependence on the Holy Spirit. You see, it's something that we intentionally do. We depend intentionally, like leaning on something. We're going to lean into this. We're going to lean on this. We're going to put confidence intentionally in the power of the Spirit versus self-confidence. So that would be the contrast. So first of all, it's a disposition, it's a bent, but secondly, and along with that, there's going to be with us a constant awareness of our own weakness. And what I mean by weakness here is weakness in the sense that I am not able in my humanity to work up this power. This is the power of the Spirit. So when it comes to this, I'm fully aware that I am weak. Now, Paul expressed this. He wrote to the Corinthians. He said, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. It's funny because as we think of Paul most of the time, as we read about Paul, we don't necessarily think of him as a weakling. And he wasn't expressing here that he was a weakling in that sense. What he was, again, he's contrasting himself with the teachers of the time, and primarily the false teachers, who were very self-confident, and they saw themselves as being very strong in their abilities to communicate and articulate. Paul is saying, that wasn't me. I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And of course, he said that. And then he went on to say that your faith would not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Now, again, writing to the Corinthians in the second letter and talking about his ministry as an apostle, he said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. And so Paul is here expressing that that idea of I'm weak and my only strength to do what I do comes through the Lord himself. So it's through the sufficiency that God supplies that I am able to do what I do. And so again, remember, the question is, how do we assure that we're preaching in the power of the Spirit? Well, number one, we're leaning in. We're depending on the Lord. We're acknowledging that we do not have the ability to do what needs to be done. And we're recognizing that our only sufficiency for this task is going to come to us from the Lord. And so, but thirdly, I would say that in order to assure that we're preaching in the power of the Spirit, we must be preaching the Word. We must be preaching the Scriptures. And in some senses, that sounds like the obvious. And I think for most of us here right now, we already understand that. But not everybody does understand that. So I think it's important that we restate that. Because God's anointing is upon His Word. The Word itself has power. It is God's word. It's living. It's powerful. And we then are the communicators of that word. And we have that additional power from the Spirit that comes upon us to bring this living, powerful word. But if I deviate from the word and I end up preaching something else, then there is no power in that. There is no supernatural power, the kind of power that Paul was talking about. I think a passage in Jeremiah really sort of summed up just this whole idea here. And maybe you remember this passage. It's from Jeremiah chapter 23. And there, the Lord is speaking to Jeremiah. He says, the prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he who has my word, let him speak it faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? So notice, let the prophet who has a dream, let him tell the dream, but the one who has my word, let them speak it faithfully. So here's the contrast. The contrast is between the one who has a dream and the one who has the word. And I think dream here, we can broaden this out. The idea is something that originates within man himself. So something that is of human origin. So that's the contrast. There are prophets in Jeremiah's day who are prophesying, but their message is of human origin. It is coming out of their own hearts and their own minds. But the Lord says to Jeremiah, you speak my word. And then he makes this comparison. What is the chaff to the wheat? So that which originates with man, God says is chaff. It's only that which comes from him and his word that is the wheat. And so again, we want to, if we're going to have the assurance that we're going to be spirit empowered in our preaching, we have got to be preaching the word. Now, going back just for a moment to human origin, you know, this is very broad. And it could cover everything from lofty philosophical, theological ideas to homespun spiritual fairy tales. And those would be two ends of the spectrum. So on the one end of the spectrum, you've got a big emphasis on intellect and academics and philosophy and theological ideas. And oftentimes these are more connected to human origin than to God's divinely inspired word. But then at the very other end of the spectrum, you have what I'm calling here homespun spiritual fairy tales. You have people who are basically just telling a lot of stories, playing on people's emotions, but nothing is really rooted in the word. And so we don't want to do that. Either extreme, we don't want to do that. We want to be those who are proclaimers, first and foremost, of God's word. Now, of course, God uses our intellect. He uses our emotions. He uses all of those things. We can refer to academic things. We can tell stories that appeal to emotions. But our confidence must be in, and our message must come from, the scriptures themselves. So this is how we assure that we're going to preach in the power of the Spirit. We lean into the Lord. We recognize that we are not sufficient for these things. And we preach, teach, proclaim, however you want to describe it, the word of God. Now, that brings me to the second point of the process of preparing to preach. And I'm talking about preaching here, not necessarily just a one-off preaching engagement, but I'm talking more about what we do consistently is preaching and teaching through text of the Bible on a regular basis and, for the most part, on a weekly basis. So what does the process look like that is going to lend itself to Spirit-empowered preaching? The process looks like, first of all, seeking the Lord and His leading on even what to preach. Seeking the Lord and His leading on even what to preach. I learned this early on in the ministry. What I did in the early days of pastoring is I pretty much followed the example of my pastor, Pastor Chuck Smith. I followed his example of preaching through the Bible, preaching Genesis to Revelation in a running commentary form in the evening, and then taking a portion from my evening chapters and preaching a sermon on that on Sunday mornings. And I did that for the first couple of years of pastoring my own church. And at the end of a couple of years, I really sensed God was turning me in a bit of a different direction. And He began to speak to me about Him developing my own approach to teaching and preaching. And He put on my heart a specific book of the New Testament to teach through, and that was the book of Matthew. And so I altered the way I did things, and I took the book of Matthew, and I began to break it down into sermons And I preached through that on Sunday morning. And it was a time I really sensed that the Lord was saying, this is what I want you to do, and this is how I want you to do it. Now, approximately 38 years have passed since then, and I have pretty much stuck with that method through all of these years. So I am preaching currently in Philippians, and I'm preaching in Philippians because the Lord spoke to me and directed me to Philippians. And the point that I want to make is that I lean into and depend upon the Lord even to know where we're going to go in the preaching series that I do at the church that I pastor. And so I believe that the Lord wants to direct us even in that. Because you see, God knows the people. He knows who they are. He knows where they are. He knows their deepest needs. And he knows what portion of his word is going to be applicable in their lives for this season. And so I think that if we seek him, he will give us a sense of where to go in his word. And like I said, that has been my experience. Now, I mentioned that I'm teaching Philippians, and I have to say that just a month or so before I finished the Gospel of Mark, which I was in for a year and a half, I began to ask the question, Lord, where do we go from here? And the Lord put on my heart Philippians. I didn't really like that idea. So I spent the next 3 months trying all different books out just in my mind, thinking that, well, maybe we should go here. Maybe we should do this. Maybe we should do that. And after a few months and coming down to the wire, finished Mark, had to know where to go from there. Guess what? Circled all the way back around and sure enough, landed on Philippians. Now, I can say now that it was clearly the Lord in the very beginning. I just needed to look at all the different options. But what's been amazing is to see how relevant Philippians has been to the congregation during this season. So we're in the middle of the COVID crisis. The COVID crisis did not begin till we were a chapter into Philippians. But I am finding how amazingly applicable Philippians is to the current moment that we're living in. And not only that, but I've seen a number of other pastors, even recently, be led to preaching through Philippians at this time. So my whole point is that when we think about preaching, when we think about teaching the scriptures, and we talk about leaning on the Lord, that's not just for the preaching itself. It's for everything that precedes it, even down to the very place that God would have us to land and to preach. And so we want to seek the Lord's leading on what to preach. And then as we understand that, as we figure out, okay, this is what the Lord wants me to do, then we want to seek the Lord's assistance in studying for and preparing the individual messages. And of course, just take Philippians. We've got four chapters in Philippians. We've got, we took at this time the theme, the fellowship of the gospel. We've been trying to bring things back around to that in each of our messages. But I look at it, how am I going to teach it? Am I going to teach it a chapter a week? Am I going to teach it a half a chapter a week? Am I going to take a few verses? And so that's how I approach it. And in our series through Philippians so far, we have just been following, to the best of our ability, Paul's thought pattern and just taking a particular thought and developing that. That becomes the sermon for the morning. And that is the way we're going through the epistle. And we're almost finished, and we'll finish up here in a few weeks. And we're going to go from there to Colossians, because that is the other book that God has put on my heart. So, as I'm saying, there is this dependency that we're going to have on the Lord, even in the choosing of the book and the way that we're going to approach our study to it and the preparing of our messages. And so later today, I'm going to actually finish Philippians. I'm going to come back and do two more weeks looking at passages that I want to drill down a bit more into. But even as I think about where we're going today, I have a couple of ideas, but I know by tonight, I know that I will have a crafted outline that will bring to God's people tomorrow the word that he has for them. And so we want to seek the Lord all the way through. And then that takes us to the final point of preaching itself. So again, let me reiterate, the big thing that I'm expressing here is dependency on the Spirit, intentional dependency on the Spirit. I'm not depending on my own wisdom. I'm not depending on my own strengths or my giftings, my abilities. Those are all fine, but they're not the thing I'm depending on. I'm depending on the Lord. So when it comes to preaching itself, you take that same dependency that you've had through the whole process, going all the way back to the very beginning, and you apply it in the pulpit. So just like you've been depending on the Lord for the whole process, you don't stop when you get into the pulpit. You don't, okay, I depended on the Lord for this. Now I'm going to get up and I'm going to deliver a great message. No, when you get into the pulpit, you're, Lord, I am just as dependent on you this moment as I was in any stage of the process. You know, it was Malcolm Gladwell in his book, Outliers, he said that an expert is a person who has invested 10,000 hours in something. And okay, that's probably true. I've invested more than 10,000 hours in preaching over almost 40 years. And I want to tell you today, I am no expert. And I don't think in this world, in this thing that we're talking about, there is even the possibility of being an expert. Because an expert is really a person who is totally competent at what they do. And, you know, they can more or less do it in their sleep because they know how to do it so well. I cannot get into a pulpit. I cannot open a Bible and stand in front of a congregation without sensing an utter dependence on the Lord. Lord, I need you right now. I've preached hundreds and hundreds of sermons, but none of those matter at this moment. I need you to come and I need you to empower me right now to give this word. And that's what we're talking about here. And when we come into that moment of preaching, whether it's in a pulpit or standing in front of people or sitting in front of them, whatever we're doing, or in our case currently in front of a camera, remember and realize that you are the mouthpiece of God to bring his word to his people. You are God's mouthpiece to bring his word to his people. Peter put it like this: if anyone speaks, let them speak as the oracle of God. Speak as the mouthpiece of God. So when I stand up tomorrow to speak, in this case, into a camera with people on the other end of it looking at a screen, I am going to do that with the conscious awareness that I am God's mouthpiece and God is going to speak through me to these people. And now here's my main point here. When it comes to preaching, now when I preach, and again, I'm speaking specifically of what I do Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, I prepare an outline. I have an introduction. I have three or five or seven points. I have a conclusion. I generally will stick to what I have previously written down, believing that God has led me to write these thoughts down, but I will always inevitably go off script at some point. And that's what I want to say. If we're going to be people who preach in the power of the Spirit, then we're going to have to be willing to go off script at a certain point, because the Spirit of God will spontaneously give us words while we're preaching that he wants us to share with the people before us. And so don't be afraid to go places you hadn't prepared to go, because the Spirit will often send us off on diversions, but will also get us back to the main road. But we have to be open to taking these diversions. And I would say, be cautiously spontaneous. Now let me say two things. I want us to realize there's two extremes here that we want to avoid, and we want to strike the balance right in the middle of these two. There is total spontaneity, and there's actually some people who think that I am just depending on the Spirit. I don't want to mess with the Spirit's anointing, so I'm not going to prepare. Jesus said, don't give no thought to what you say. It's not going to be you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father. Well, the context of that, of course, is that when you're brought before the magistrates in a situation where you're being persecuted, it wasn't for preaching. But some people have mistakenly thought that true preaching is just purely spontaneous. I just pray and I get up and I let it go. I let it fly. And whatever God puts on my heart, whatever He brings to my mind, that's what I'm going to speak. So that's spontaneity taken to a level that I think is a level we don't want to go to. And I think it's the wrong idea. That's not going to bring a clear, consistent, balanced word from God to the people that God has called you to minister to. But the other extreme is to just say, for example, take my outline and stick word for word to my outline and not deviate from that in the slightest. And some people do that even with a manuscript. Some people, like myself, I preach from an outline, which is a skeleton, and other people preach from more like a manuscript where they will literally read every single word. And if they did two or three teachings the same day of that same message, it would be identical word for word each and every time. I think that's also wrong. So what we want to do is we want to find that place in the middle. Remember, teaching is a gift. It's something that you develop over a process of time with the assistance of the Holy Spirit. You cultivate this gift. You improve at it as time goes on. So we want to find that happy place between the structure that is perfectly legitimate and necessary to help people understand and grow and so forth. But we don't want to be so rigidly structured that we miss that spontaneous aspect and we do not experience those prophetic diversions that the Lord will send us on. Now, I want you to understand that with these spontaneous diversions, they are more often than not prophetic words that go straight to the heart of the hearers. This has been my experience over the years. God, as I said early on, the scriptures themselves are God's word and have inherent power within them. But then God empowers a person to take that powerful word and to communicate it to people through their study process. They've gained knowledge and information through their personality. All of those things are working together. But beyond all of that, the Lord, by the Spirit, comes and He gives prophetic words. And the prophetic words are those words that come, like I said, spontaneously. We didn't intend to go there. It wasn't in our script. That's why I said we have to go off script. But we sense that we're to go in that direction. And then we find after the fact that it was that very thing that had the great impact on a person or people that day. Not that the other things didn't impact people, but there was some specific thing. Now, I have had this experience over and over and over and over again throughout the years. I've had the experience of numbers of people on a fairly regular basis coming to me and saying to me, I came to church this morning and this, I was so burdened by this and I didn't know what in the world to think about it or what I was going to do about it. And you spoke on this and it completely answered the question. And it so comforted me and strengthened me and gave me wisdom. And oh, I am just so thankful for that word this morning. And what I often will know at the moment that that's being communicated, sometimes I'll say it to the person, sometimes I won't, is the funny thing is that was not even in my script. I had no plan to go there. It suddenly came to me and I went in that direction. And you see, that's the prophetic element. And that's what I think biblical preaching is. There is that power in it. There's that prophetic element where people can't deny God has spoken to me and he's revealed the deep things of my heart. He's answered the questions. And this is what we want to do when we preach. We want to be that vehicle through which God can bring those living, spontaneous, powerful words that bring life transformation, sometimes in an instant, to a person. And so when Paul says to the Thessalonians regarding the word, he says that you receive the word of God as it is in truth. That it's you receive the message not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectively works in you who believe. And that was that prophetic word that Paul talked about. And so one other way that I have seen over the years, I know that God has given me a prophetic element to my, it's part of my gifting. I know that. It's not anything I'm saying boastfully. It's just a fact. And one of the ways I know that, beside what I just said, and I could give many other illustrations, is I will frequently have people tell me things that I said 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago that completely impacted their lives, and they remember word for word what I said. Now, I can't even remember saying it, but they can remember word for word. That's the prophetic word. That's God's word that spoke so clearly to them and resonated so powerfully with them. In most cases, it changed the course of their lives, and that's what they're expressing. So this is preaching in the power of the Spirit. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about preaching in the power of the Spirit. And I'm going to finish up with a quote from Martin Lloyd-Jones. Actually, just throw a couple in here. Lloyd-Jones said, "Preaching is theology coming through a man who is on fire." He called it logic on fire. He called it eloquent reason. And amen to all of that. That is all very good. But we have to be careful not to mistake. Sometimes we can mistake a person's gifting as a communicator and think, well, that's what an anointing looks like. It could be, because it could be a combination of both, but it's not necessarily. And my point is that people who don't have as dynamic a personality or a delivery can still preach in the power of the Spirit and still have a great impact because it's a Spirit that's impacting people. But at the very end of Lloyd-Jones's classic book, on the subject of preaching, preaching and preachers, he said this at the very conclusion. He said, "Seek this power, expect this power, yearn for this power, and when the power comes, yield to him." He's recognizing the power is the Spirit. "Do not resist." He says this, "Forget all about your sermon if necessary." Sometimes you got to go completely off script. And then he said this, "Let him loose you. Let him manifest his power in you and through you. I am certain that nothing but a return of this power of the Spirit on our preaching is going to avail us anything. This unction, this anointing is the supreme thing. Seek it until you have it. Be content with nothing less." Amen. Preaching in the power of the Spirit. God help us.
No, it was really good, Brian. Thank you. And we've got a lot of questions that have come in, and those have come in. Some of them come to me privately. And so I would just want to tell you guys, just as we're moderating, given the rules, it would be great if you could post your questions in the public chat, meaning to everybody instead of to me privately. That way, everybody's able to see your question. Maybe it aligns with the question they're asking as well. So right now, I'd like to ask the steering committee and Brian to keep your mics unmuted. And we're going to direct the questions primarily to Brian, of course, in this first part, but we'll let the other steering committee members jump in as well. So I'm going to ask Alan Stoddard to go ahead with the first question. So Alan, just go ahead and unmute yourself. And if you could ask your question, that'd be great.
Yeah, right on. Brian, great stuff. I'm taking away prophetic diversions, man. I'm going to steal that for sure. So you answered my question. So I wanted to maybe just press and see if we can get a little more out of you on this. How would you say, what does the picture look like, which you've already drawn, but the picture look like of depending on the spirit, the real nuts and bolts of it? So you talked a little about the use of notes. You talked about prayer. So maybe, okay, what does that specifically beyond what you've said, the prayer component and the dependence on the Spirit of God, and what does that look like? And maybe you could do it from this point of, so I'm sitting here wondering, how did you grow into this? How did it change, like from the beginning when you started preaching and now, and all of a sudden you realize, wow, okay, here's how I can depend on the Spirit more. And then I would encourage all of us, because I know you're in with James Meeks and all these guys now. One of the things I learned is to study Black preaching. They've got a real niche on this in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, Alan, I mean, for me, there's things in this that are super personal in the sense that, you know, weakness, for example, is something that God sovereignly gave me, which I would not have volunteered for. But, you know, back in my early days of ministry, I was sick. I was chronically ill for almost 20 years. And in that long, long season, there was just, I did not have an option. I did not have a strength option in myself. I had to depend on the Lord. It was sink or swim based on whether I was depending on the Lord or not. So, you know, so some of this stuff is really birthed out of my own life experience in regard to my own weaknesses. But then of course I've got the support of the scripture that I've been able to look to, like, you know, some of the passages that we mentioned. And then over the years, I've done a lot of reading biographies of great preachers and so forth. And, you know, you find these similar things in the lives of so many of God's great servants. And, you know, Spurgeon is a great example of someone who was, one of the great preachers of the entire history of the church, but also was a man who was very familiar with weakness. He was very familiar with affliction. And so what I'm saying is that as I would read through the biographies or the autobiographies of so many of these different people, I would find similar kinds of patterns that would just continue to encourage me that, to simplify it in Paul's words, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And I know, you know, so mine is my own unique experience. I think all of us, our experience will be different, but the objective of the Lord to get us to depend on Him is the same. So we just need to respond to whatever that is that God is using to bring us to that place of dependency on Him. You know, I've seen, just a quick example, I've seen guys who have gone the academic route. You know, they've done the PhDs. They thought that this is going to be my road to power. This is going to be my way of becoming the great minister of the gospel, only to find out that's not the way it works. And for them, they had to, in the end, sort of renounce that in the sense of their dependency on it, not renounce it like, here, take my degree back, but just recognizing, oh, wow, this is really not where the power lies. The power lies in dependency on Christ. So I don't know if that clarifies it at all, but.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks, Brian. This is Mike here, the co-host. So our next question, I want to point towards Josiah Hind, or Hind, if I'm pronouncing it right. Josiah, would you mind maybe reading out the question that you asked earlier?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Pastor Brian, by the way, for that.
You're welcome.
Praise the Lord. And also shout out to Rick Johnson as well. Good to see you on here. And so my question is, do you find that going off the script at the Spirit's leading is harder now that everybody had, now that you've gone and everyone has gone to video sermons, maybe pre-recorded or live, but with nobody in the audience necessarily? Do you find that it's harder? Is the tendency to stick to the script stronger now than when you were preaching live?
Yeah, that's a super good question. It's kind of been hit and miss for me, honestly. There are some weeks where I feel like, man, I was free in the Spirit, and it was, there's just a flow. Your thinking is clear. Your communication is you feel good about it. And then there's other times when I finish up and I'm just like, did that even make sense to anybody? And so I found myself really honestly feeling like it's hit and miss. And, so then I have like one Sunday where I just feel really good in front of the camera. And I think, okay, good. I got it now. I feel good in front of the camera. Next week, I'm going to feel just like that. And as funny enough, last week, because I preached twice on Sundays, last week, I preached the first message and it was so good. I felt so relaxed. I was so smooth, so inspired, just didn't even have to think about anything. The next service, it was like, I didn't even know how to preach. And I can't figure any of this out. So yeah, I find it so interesting that at this stage in life, and any of you guys who are, getting up there a little bit, you've been preaching for a long time, I am being so stretched right now that I'm being stretched in ways I never even imagined. It's like, what? I got to do this? And I had moments in the early part where it's just like, no, I'm not going to do that. Forget it. I'm not going to do that. I'm too old. I can't learn that kind of stuff now. The Lord's like, no, you're actually going to do it. I'm going to stretch you further and further. So that's where I'm at.
Great. Hey, thanks, Brian. Hey, I wanted to just let you guys know, Josiah, who just asked that last question, Josiah's been doing some, him and his wife have been doing some Spanish translation for us. They're actually translating our handbook right now into Spanish, and they've translated some articles. So if there's any of you guys who need Spanish language things, we are working on that right now. So thanks, Josiah. We appreciate that. Also, our next question, I'd like, Brian, if you could clarify something that came up in the chat while you were talking. Some people had asked questions along these lines. One was, aren't you afraid that by not preaching in the Old Testament on Sunday, that the congregation won't receive the whole word of God? Does it get stale teaching only in the New Testament? Maybe you could clarify what your approach is to that.
Yeah, it's not like I'm opposed to teaching in the Old Testament on Sunday. I've just never really felt, I need to qualify that. I have taught series through parts of the Old Testament on Sunday mornings, but I've never taught a book like, I'm going to teach through the entire book of Genesis, or I'm going to teach through the entire book of Isaiah or something like that. So I've done series, but to go back to the question specifically, no, I don't feel that way because, as someone has said, in the new, the old is contained. So the New Testament is, you can't understand the New Testament without the Old Testament. So inevitably you're pushed back to the Old Testament to explain what the New Testament writers are saying. So for example, I taught Hebrews a few years ago. So when you're teaching Hebrews, you're effectively teaching, you're teaching Genesis, you're teaching Leviticus, you're teaching parts of Exodus, you're teaching all kinds of Old Testament things while you're teaching, the New Testament letters or epistles. And the same is true with the Gospels. So I don't feel like that's the case. And like I said, it's not like I have some philosophy where I will never teach the Old Testament. in all the years I've sought the Lord and prayed about where to go on Sundays, it just has never been go to Deuteronomy.
Teach through the Old Testament.
I teach through the Old Testament. Yeah. And that's why I made the distinction a little bit between Wednesday. The Sundays and the teaching through the Bible. So I'm actually in Isaiah right now, and I started in Genesis 6 years ago. So I've gone from Genesis to Isaiah, and that's where I'm right now, Isaiah 52 and 53 this week, as a matter of fact. So I teach through the Old Testament, but Sunday to me is just a different, I just see it as a different animal in a sense that the Lord has just had us in the New Testament there, so.
So what we're going to do is this will be our final question for this section before moving over to David for the second monologue. And we're going to go to Killarney and Michael Robeson. Michael, if you could maybe just read out the question that you typed in there for David to respond to. Sorry, when I say David, I mean Brian.
All right, where has it gone to? Basically, in a nutshell, somebody had recently said to me in a group, what's missing, what the missing ingredient is the anointing. You need the anointing on your life. And I know what they are saying. There's like a lot of the Pentecostal charismatic is like seeking after God and the anointing and the anointed speaker. But Brian was talking there in point three that you've got to have a trust in the scriptures and that there's power in the word. And is it really down to the charismatic ability of the preacher, or is it the dependency on the word and just believing that the Spirit of God will take that word and speak it to a person? If that's the case, then we might have the dullest preacher ever who could hardly put two verses together. But he says, I'm just depending on the Spirit. Just talk a bit about that, maybe.
Yeah, and that's a great question. And I think that there's, there's always exceptions, but then there's rules, you know. So occasionally you're going to find somebody who it just doesn't really have much of a gift to, in a sense, you wouldn't look at them and think, wow, they're a powerful speaker. Oh, they're such a charismatic personality. But nevertheless, God is speaking through them. And people's lives are being impacted by that. But I think if you have a gift to teach or preach, and we're all doing this presumably because we believe we're gifted to do it, then a person who's gifted can do it. Some people don't have the gift. And even if they don't have the gift, God can speak through them on occasion. But, you know, they shouldn't really make their life's occupation a preacher if they don't have the ability to do it. But that idea that, and I know exactly what you're talking about, Michael, that, you know, some people have in their mind what the anointing looks like, which to me could oftentimes go over into what I was referring to when I was talking about these homespun, spiritual fairy tales. You know, you can get people up there that can, man, they can tell a great story, and yet there's no power in it. There's an emotional power in it because of the story element, but there's no Holy Ghost power in it. So, if you have the gift to teach and the calling to teach, teaching, of course, and preaching is a skill that develops through use. It develops over time. So you should expect to be a better preacher as the further you go down the road. And for a person who never develops, I would say maybe that's not your gift. But not everybody's going to have the kind of gifting that there are some that are just extraordinarily gifted in that way. But it doesn't mean that they're more anointed than the guy who's, you know, doesn't have that extraordinary gift to communicate. So I don't know. I don't know if that helps.
Hey, thanks, Brian. And I want to remind you guys that we're going to have another time of Q&A after this as well. So some of those questions that we didn't get to, hopefully we will be able to get to them, and there will probably be more good questions that come up.
So that was great, wasn't it? And there's more to come. So next Tuesday, we'll have the second half of this where Pastor David Guzik speaks to us and we have an even more extended time of Q&A afterwards. So, you know, we do plan on hosting similar webinars sometime in the future. It definitely is our intention. There's no date that is set yet, but the best way for you to stay connected is to, well, we have a lot of ways, actually. Make sure that you're actually subscribed to this podcast if you're listening to it right now so that it automatically gets delivered to your phone or to your device as soon as the episodes come out. It's free. Just hit subscribe. And additionally, our website, expositorscollective.com, the front page will always have our next upcoming event. And we're also on every social media except TikTok. And so that can let you know not only like daily encouragements towards faithful expository Bible teaching, but also as we have future events, they're going to be put out there on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And so find us on social media. That's a way to follow us and to be informed about the next time that we host a webinar. And Lord willing, once we start having our in-person training weekends once again. Okay, I hope that all that we do, whether it's webinars, face-to-face, or through this podcast, I hope all that we do helps you to grow in your personal study and your public proclamation of God's Word.